Amen. Well, you guys are welcome to be seated. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's found out of Psalm 118, and it's one of my favorite scriptures that just reminds us that in each and every day, no matter what we're going through, that there's a reason to worship, that there's a reason to be thankful. We've been in a series called Mind the Gap, and we've talked about how in life there's things at times that create a gap between us and our relationship with God. And what we've said is that in each one of those circumstances, that God wants to fill that gap. And we've been looking at different things like loneliness and depression and anxiety. And today, we're going to be ending that series. And I want to ask you as we start today, you are 3 months into the new year. How's it going? Okay, we got some people celebrating. We got some people kind of ducking heads, right? You started the year off strong. We started working out. We said, I'm going to drop 5, 10, 15, maybe more. How we doing? And then that's kind of what we expect, right? And sometimes when we get into the new year, we start navigating through life and things that we want to do when we find old habits that start popping up, don't we? As much as maybe we were going to the gym, we're just going to have one donut. It's not a big deal, right? Or we're just going to skip this morning and we're going to make up for it later. And then maybe, you know, like there's a show on that we can't miss. There's things that start popping up. And whether you've turned back to something that you haven't done in a long time, or maybe there's something that you're trying to get rid of that's you're just reassessing, you're dealing with some addiction. Maybe it's kind of taking control of your life. And you know, for me, in our world, I don't find it surprising that our world wrestles with addiction, right? Addiction is something that is almost, at this point, celebrated. We're addicted to addiction. You guys ever thought about that? That we're addicted to that. Our culture is ruthless when it comes to making us consumers of things. It used to be that companies just wanted us to enjoy their products, but now our culture wants us to be tethered to it, that we can't do life without it, that we have to have it, or we're going to be feeling some kind of loss. There's all kinds of different addictions, and I want to talk about some of them that we might not have considered. And here's the truth. Some of them, even though they could be good, when taken to an extreme, can be bad. Like a gym addiction, right? A sugar addiction, shopping addiction, social media addiction, a phone addiction. I didn't want to say that one because that might or might not be one of my struggles. Approval of other addiction. It's gotten so out of hand that Netflix have gone so far to create shows and series that are binge-worthy, right? And maybe, like me, you've been watching a show and you're enjoying it and you find yourself watching one episode, two episodes, three episodes, and then those dreaded words pop up. I hear you guys all whispering it. Are you still watching? I remember the first time I saw that. I'm like, that's the worst thing ever to pop up. Because I'm like, yeah, I'm still watching. And now I'm like, yeah, I'm still watching. This is an amazing show. And it just kind of shows sometimes our relationship with addiction. It's one of those things that comes up in our lives and that we have to wrestle with. Because there's so many options out there. There's so many different things that we look at that we can become addicted to. At the root of it, there's some deep and scary origins to addiction. In fact, I want to kind of look at this idea, this working definition of addiction. Addiction is a psychological and physical inability to stop consuming a chemical, a drug, an activity, a substance, even though it's causing psychological and physical harm. And like I said, for many of us, we have experienced it ourselves, or we know somebody that has wrestled with an addiction. But if you get to the root of the word addiction, addict comes from the Latin atticus, right? And it comes to this idea of a debt owed by a slave, to devote, to sacrifice, to sell out. Another way to look at it is this, is addiction is to be enslaved to or bound to. I've told you guys before, like, I'm a real visual thinker. And when I think about an addiction and I think about things that I've wrestled with in my life, I think about a rope going around me and whatever it is I'm tying myself to. I'm bound to it, right? I have to bring it with me because it's something that I'm addicted to. And I need that thing, whatever it is, throughout my day, throughout my life, because I've bound myself to it. I'm enslaved to it. It's to be powerless to something. I don't know if you've ever met somebody that struggles with addiction, but no one says, hey, I want to be addicted to a substance. I want to be addicted to a chemical. I know that I'm flushing my family's financial situation down the drain, but I just can't stop buying things. Something can start out innocent and good, but because of our willingness to bind ourselves to it, it becomes an addiction, and we wake up one day not knowing how to do without it. A guy named Paul wrote much of the New Testament, and today I want to look at this verse that kind of talks about this idea in Romans 6. It says, "Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living." So Paul right here is saying, listen, you're going to serve somebody, right? Some of you know the famous Bob Dylan song that says, you're going to serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. What are you going to bind yourself to? And Paul right here is saying, listen, if you bind yourself to sin, it leads to death. It leads to death. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. The problem with addiction isn't necessarily addiction. It's what you're addicted to. Because we can bind ourselves to God. We can be addicted to our relationship with God, and it can be an amazing thing. But sometimes it goes bad. You can be addicted to the gym. Like, some of you guys are like, Matt, you should be a little bit more addicted to the gym. And I agree. There's days where I should be a little bit more addicted to the gym. But I know people who have lost their relationships with their spouse, that they've never had a relationship with their kids because they're in the gym 24/7. I know people who are so addicted to their phones that no matter what is going on around them, they can't get out of the screen that is in their face. And unfortunately, I know people that are addicted to alcohol and drugs, and it consumes their life. And what at the beginning they thought was fun, now is they are enslaved to. In fact, I don't feel like there's a better picture of this verse that we read in Romans 6 than alcohol and drug addiction. Because so many people that you talk to, they're like, man, I don't want to use anymore. But I'm at the place in my life that I'm dependent on it. I find myself selling everything that I care about, including my relationships. I sell them out in order to feed the fix. So we choose to obey something. And if we are looking for things to fulfill and satisfy us, we want to make sure that we're filling our lives with the right things. And David, King David, that we've been talking about through the Psalms, did and experienced things that we navigate today. If you never read a story, man, I've been encouraging you guys each week, read the story of David. Do some research on the life of David and some of the things that he did and some of the things that he struggled with. I love the Bible, and I'll say this all the time. I love the Bible because it's so real. There are things that David and Paul and others throughout the Bible struggled with that are so very real to the same struggles that we deal with today. So read his story. But today we're going to read an excerpt out of Psalm. It's found in Psalm 16. David writes, "Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, 'You are my master. Every good thing comes from you.'" I want to pause right there for a second. Because David's saying, listen, I've lived a long time at this point. I've experienced some life. And God, I'm asking that you keep me safe because I know the temptation of addictions. I've come to you for refuge. You are my safe place. You are my hiding place. You are the door that I shut and the walls that keep me safe from the struggles that are outside. Every good thing I have comes from you. You see this happen over and over again in David's writings. He's saying, either I've come from struggle, or God, I know that I've struggled in the past, and you are my refuge. It's a thing that he constantly keeps coming back to remind himself, God, that in you are all good things. But he says, in verse 4, troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. Sometimes, if we're a Christian, if we call ourselves Christian, if we call ourselves believers, we're like, hey, I don't really wrestle with that. I just serve God. I don't serve any other gods. I don't go to the Buddhist temple. I don't, you know, go to these other places. But here's an idea I would like to challenge. Where do we find ourselves devoting most of our time? When it comes to our lives, what are we filling our lives with? I was filling a container recently, and I was thinking about this idea. Whatever we fill the lives of our lives with, the container of our lives with, is going to spill out. And so if we fill it with good things are going to come out. If we fill it with harmful things are going to come out. To what do we give the majority of our time, our talent, and our treasure to? Is it God or is it other stuff? Is it maybe other little g gods in our lives? Those last few words David is speaking on, he says, be careful what you're giving your attention to. Because gods isn't just a reference to some other supreme power that you choose to try to worship. This idea of Buddha or this golden calf as we find in the Old Testament, some of these different ideas. No, there's other things that we treat as gods in our lives. And it comes back to this idea of what are you binding yourself to? And that's what's been happening since the beginning of time, isn't it? In Genesis, we read the story of Adam and Eve, and they're tempted. Tempted by Satan in the form of a serpent who wanted to trick, lie, and deceive them. Many of you might know this verse, but it talks about when Satan lies, he speaks his native tongue. In other words, he's fluent in lying to you. He's fluent in deceiving us. He's fluent in leading us down the wrong path. And it started right here with Adam and Eve. This is the lie that they believed and what we're tempted to believe in our lives. God won't fill this gap, but blank will. God can't fill this gap, but this will. And I wonder, what's in your blank? What are you tempted to put in the space that only God can truly fill? I don't know what it is for you. But I think that all of us are tempted, just like Adam and Eve, to put something in that box besides God. And that temptation that we all face is like, what am I missing out on, right? Or what about this thing? This looks so good. It's so tempting. I think it might satisfy. Or maybe like the serpent, God's holding out on you. If you experience this, you'll experience life like you've never known it. And he's just holding it all for himself. God just doesn't want you to have fun. Ever heard that one before? God is just a killjoy. In Adam and Eve's case, they listen to the serpent. They eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And here's what happens. Adam blames it on the woman that you gave me, right? Eve blames it on the serpent. And we find ourselves doing the same thing in life. When we have to come face to face with our addiction, we begin to blame other things, and we don't go back to that verse found in Psalms that says we will endure hardship. We will struggle. Or specifically in Psalm 16:4, troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods because we're binding ourselves to something else. We too become enslaved to the very thing we think would bring freedom, that we think would bring fulfillment. And we're stuck in a cycle of chasing after wrong thing, after wrong thing, after wrong thing. It's usually the result of a physical, mental, or emotional problem, right? What started out as a simple fix turned into a complex issue. And here's the interesting thing. It might have happened to us without even being aware of it. When I was in college, I got a cold one time. I remember I had this cold and I had a little cough with it. And you ever get something kind of stuck in your throat? You guys know what I'm talking about? And so you have to, just to kind of clear your throat before you can swallow. Now, don't start doing it, okay? I heard somebody clear their throat. I'm like, don't do it. Because I started doing that, and literally, by the time my cold was gone, I had to do that every single time before I could swallow. It became maddening. It became so frustrating because I had created a habit. I had created a pattern that I had to do. I was enslaved to it, and it drove me nuts. I literally had to willfully begin swallowing without clearing my throat before I did it. And that's what addiction can do to you. It binds you to something that you don't want any part of, that you don't want in your life, but you feel like you have to do it. So we're bonded to this thing now, and we've become enslaved to it. And so instead of chasing the things that bring freedom, we find ourselves chasing just to survive while we slowly go downhill. Our troubles start multiplying. Natural consequences, it creates a gap between us and God. And so when we look at this verse that we talked about, we find that our troubles multiply not because God wants to punish us. That's why we rejoice in God, because it keeps us from those things. It keeps us from becoming addicted and tying ourselves to the things that will cause us trouble. So in order for us to fight our battle with addiction, we have to understand what we're up against. So there's a couple things that common addictions are formed, and I want to talk about them for a second. They're found often in pleasure, in possessions, and in pride. Now, there's a lot of things that can bring us pleasure. The fascinating thing is that our brain registers it all the same way. That it registers it all the same way. That no matter where the source of our pleasure is, it gives the same dopamine hit that we want to have. We will give up everything to have this one thing that we think will bring us pleasure. Now, we can definitely look at it from other angles and begin to pick it apart and say, well, it's different in this way, or it's different in that way, or there's definitely bad sources of pleasure like pornography or promiscuity or drugs or alcohol abuse. There's a sense of pleasure all of those things give us, and we definitely need to be on the lookout for those, but there are also things that we can make little g gods in our lives. They become our main source of pleasure. I talked about binging earlier on Netflix. I came across this stat and it amazed me. In the first 28 days that season 4 of Stranger Things came out, anybody a fan of Stranger Things in here? Right? My kids and I, we watched it. Threw me back to the 80s. I was like, oh, this is so fun. But listen to this stat. In the first 28 days that season 4 came out, the total hours spent watching it was 501.8 million hours in the first 28 days. 501.8 million hours. I don't know what you're addicted to. I don't know what you're binding yourself to. Maybe it's a show. Or maybe it's 501.8 million hours you spend trying to support the habit that is no longer serving you and making you feel good, but now you're serving it just to survive. We become slave to things that we think are going to bring us pleasure. The other thing is we're addicted to possessions sometimes, aren't we? It could be anything. Where you live, what you drive, your shoes, your clothes. It could be the sensation you get when the Amazon guy shows up, right? You're like, oh man, dopamine hit. Amazon guy's here. I don't even know what it is. I've bought so many different things. For some of you, that's the best part of your week. I'm going to open up that box. Let's see what's inside. Researchers used to think that addictions were just things like drugs and alcohol. But what they're actually finding is that shopping can create that exact same fix, that same bondage, that same tying to an enslavement. Finally, pride. Now, pride is a tricky one, isn't it? Some of you guys are like, please get off possessions. I don't want to hear about my shopping habits when I get home, right? But pride's a tricky one. It sort of lives at the foundation of the two things that we struggle with. A lot of times it's the vehicle that drives our pleasures and possessions. When we get beyond the surface level of those things, a lot of times we find at the core of it is selfishness and boastfulness. It's a pride thing. I'll be honest. Pride can be really difficult to figure out because it's super confusing. We can have pride about stuff, just like I mentioned, right? Look at the thing I have. We find ourselves boasting in it. And then we take pride in our work or our family taking care of things. Like I have an amazing family, and I'm supremely grateful for that. But if I begin elevating that thing above God, if I begin finding my worth in my family, then it goes out of place. Pride is the idea that we need to achieve something, to be something, to possess something that we currently don't have that somehow will make us worthy. But we have this other truth. We have this other thing that we can bind ourselves to, that Jesus is the one who gives us worth. And David takes all three of these things and says, don't fall into the trap. Don't fall into the trap and get led astray. Don't fall into the trap of believing that God won't, but this will, whatever you put in that gap. He reminds himself and us of this as he continues in Psalm 16, verses 5 through 6. He says, Lord, you alone are my inheritance. You are the only thing that I'm going to put into that gap. My cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine, God. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. See, like I said earlier, this is the beautiful thing about David. David, no matter what he's going through, reminds himself of who God is, of who God has been in the past, of who God is in the present, and who God will continue to be in the future. And it brings him back to the foundation that his life is found in Jesus. That he's the supplier of every good thing and our inheritance. That he bridges the gap between us and our sin that separated us from God. Guys, that is the good news of the gospel. That God so loved us that he couldn't stand of us being out of relationship with him. So he sent his one and only son that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have eternal life. And that's something that's offered to all of us as a free gift of grace. David understood this. That the world would try to make us believe that the quick pleasure that we get is something to trust in and find our foundation in. But he knew it was shifting. He knew that true life could not be found there. That it was a bottomless pit that could not be satisfied. Proverbs 27:20 puts it this way. Just as death and destruction are never satisfied, so human desire is never satisfied. Think about that thing in your life. Whatever it is that you might not want to admit that you're addicted to, but you might admit that you indulge in just a little too much. Ever find yourself saying, like, this time it's going to satisfy. This time it's going to make me feel whole. This time it's going to make me feel complete. And then after that dopamine hit wears off, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 seconds, you understand the truth of this verse in Proverbs. Just as death and destruction are never satisfied, my human desire is never satisfied in the things that I put in the gap. And I'm here to tell you, the only thing throughout history that the writers of the Bible, that the writers of history throughout time who trust in Jesus, they've said, the only thing that will fill in that gap is my relationship with Jesus. So what are you putting in the gap? What are you putting in the gap of your life? Because I'm going to tell you, if it's other things outside of our relationship with God, God's given us a cheat code. He's telling us in advance, you're going to go through struggles. You're going to go through things if you put those things in the place of where I belong. So David reminds us to come back in Psalm 16:2. He says, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I will return to you, God. I will trust in you all the days of my life. When temptations come or things might want to get in the way of you, God, no, I put you at the throne. I bind myself to you, God. For in you alone have I found life. Have I found transformation? Have I found freedom? Have I found peace? And for so many of us that are addicted to things that find ourselves returning and returning again so many times that we know that we're enslaved to it and we wish we could get away with it, doesn't peace sound amazing? I want the peace of God that passes understanding. And maybe today you find yourself in that place. I'm just going to invite you to pray with me. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or raise your hand, but I'm going to invite you to pray with me and to take a step into entering a relationship with God and seeing if putting God in that place, in that gap, might not be the best thing that you've ever done. That just like David, there's life and peace found there. So would you pray with me? Jesus, would you help me understand that you are enough for me? Would you help me to remove the lie that what I've been chasing, that the little g gods that I've been after are all I need? Jesus, would you help me to stop believing that you can't, but other things will? God, will you help me see the deeper issue at hand? And most of all, God, we pray that you would help us bind ourselves to you. That we would so bind ourselves to you that we wouldn't be led astray by the lies and the temptations that are so prevalent in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, I know that for some of you, this is a first step. For some of you, it feels like the 500th step because you've done it over and over again. No matter where you find yourselves, I would encourage you, walk it out with others. If you need to talk to one of us and for us to pray for you, we'd be honored to do that. If you need to seek professional help for an addiction that you've bound yourself to and you can't seem to get free of, go seek that professional help. If you maybe need to confide in somebody and cut up some credit cards and start being realistic with the debt that you have amassed, do it. But most importantly of all, no matter what it is, allow God to fill in the gap and stop seeking to fill it with other things that never truly satisfy. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you that you fill the gap. I thank you that you find us in our sin and that you don't treat us as our sin deserves, but God, that you love us, that you call us your children, and that you desire to give us life and life to the full. I pray that you would help to do this in each one of these gaps that we find in our lives. And we thank you for the life that's found in you, Jesus. Amen.